It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, here from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Proud sponsors of the Freedom Summit, freedomsummit.com. Where Dr. Paul will be speaking, Thomas Woods. We got Charles Goyette in his new book, The Dollar Meltdown. Man, did he come out just in time. Last Thursday, publisher Penguin, these guys, they finally signed a contract a year ago. Finally, they got it all done. The book comes out when? On the 80th anniversary of the stock market crash in 29. Just made it. So that we can say, Neon, I freaking told you so. That's what happened. So hopefully this summit is all about you surviving it. I just want you don't got to beat them. You think we got to beat them? Let's go beat them. We got to beat them. We're going to beat them. We're going to use their ball in their field with their sportscasters and their rules and their guys and all, you know, we're going to use all theirs. We're going to do it. We're going to beat them. Now, I'm saying you don't got to beat them. You just got to survive them because they will crash on their own. And we want to get a up close and personal showing of just exactly how they do this to just take away a little more of their credibility. And how we're doing that is with Wayne Terhune in Nevada. He's up in Sparks by Reno and went to the Republican State Convention in Nevada for Dr. Paul. That was at a time where it was clear that there were going to be lots and lots of delegates that were going to the national convention, and a lot of them were going to come out of Nevada, and that was going to spark a bunch of other states too. You know that was going to happen. So what happened, they had the – there was not a single delegate that they want for Ron Paul going to – and because the same kind of stuff was happening in Louisiana. It was happening all over the place, lots of fraud. So here we had head-button-head – and toe-to-toe showdown of raw wrestling, ready to rumble, and Wayne was right in the middle of it. Now, go ahead and let's pick it up there. They're starting to tally ballots, and so it's going to be very clear that there's going to be a bunch of delegates going to the National Convention from Nevada. How did they deal with it?
Well, yeah, and one thing I want to make clear, though, is that, you know, Ernie, as you know, this was a statewide Ron Paul thing. There were so many of us involved, and we had text messaging going during the voting. We didn't do anything illegal, but we took them down and we were prepared. Anyway, like you say, they started seeing the results from the CD votes that it was going to be a Ron Paul landslide. And so they just started kind of like, stalling, and they just had speakers that were kind of like fluff and showing this movies and stuff while they were counting, and they were still counting the CD2 ballots.
And it's like Iowa straw poll. They go for, it's an hour and a half late, 2 hours
right,
late.
Right,
they're still
right.
Negotiating.
Yeah,
I know
yeah,
how it works.
They were doing that. And so then towards the end of that, before they got to the at-large nominations where we would have probably cruised with 27 out of 33 delegates for Ron Paul, because that was the way it was going, somebody overheard Sue Loudon, some of our people. Now, I didn't hear this, but it's pretty well documented. She was kind of sitting there thinking, she says, well, you know, if we can break quorum, can we stop this? And they were talking to Bob Beers, who was a state senator from Vegas at that time, and there were some other people and whatnot. And so what they did is they started going around and getting the McCain people that they knew to say, we're leaving now, we're leaving. And they tried to get people to leave so that they could break quorum. And anyway, so they did that, and they got to about where it was about half the people had left, but they didn't leave. They were kind of standing in the back of the room. And so we were kind of pushing to get it going. And then all of a sudden, Bob Beers. I mean, this is not following Robert's Rules of Order or anything. If you want to shut down a convention, you have to have a motion, you have to have a discussion and a vote, and you have to do it according to Robert's Rules.
They did. Or they do whatever the heck they want.
Well, yeah, this is from a legal perspective, but they
don't
do what
care.
They want.
This is, so this is the best thing you guys learned in this entire process, is you learn they don't care about law, rules.
They'll
do whatever they want.
Absolutely.
And all right, so, lesson learned.
Yeah, we're learning. But anyway, so what they did is they just totally illegally, they banged the gavel down and said, this convention is over, and they turned off the lights and they turned off the microphones.
Oh, how'd that go over?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. You know, that was kind of like they could have, people could have got injured, you know, in that. And people were upset. And, I mean, they were just like, hey, what's going on here and whatnot. And Sue Loudon had already left the room. And Bob Beers was left to take the fall. And it's interesting to note that when he ran for re-election, he did not win. But in any case, he took the fall, and then he left. And there were still about 600-700 people sitting there. And, you know, people were yelling and screaming and upset, but I didn't really see any violence or whatnot. I mean, obviously all these people had invested all their time and effort going through the legal hoops, doing it right, and they were winning, and then they got shut down because the McCain people and the powers that be didn't want that. And they didn't know how else to deal with it, because if they knew, and we knew, and all the media I talked to knew, that if we went through, we'd have a Ron Paul delegation. So they just shut it down. You know, it's not the American way, one man, one vote, one person, one vote. It's just like, this is communist Russia. Anyway, so they shut her down. So what we tried to do then is continue, and we called for the speaker, and we got another speaker, and we took a count, and we didn't have a quorum. We were like about 50 or 60 shy. Now, if we were cheaters like them, we would have said we had a quorum and went on, but we didn't.
Well, they had a bunch of their guys just down the hall in another room just hiding.
Well, yeah, they did, and they... and they were even in the back of the room watching and to see what would happen. So it was kind of chaos, and then it ended. But, you know, everybody knew why that happened. And, you know, there's some, you know, Sue Loudon says, oh, we didn't have the room, or we couldn't have the insurance. You know, first of all, we had a lot of people that went and talked to the Peppermill, and they said, yeah, you can still have it, and you can have the room. If you want. And in fact, the next day we went down, the room was still vacant. But regardless of where they had the room or not, which they could have, you know, if you want to take a recess, you do it legally. And then you come back and you reconvene. But they just shut her down, and we were out. We didn't have a delegation to the national at that point.
And then how did they select? They just kind of appointed people or something, didn't they?
Well, you know, what happened is they kept saying, we're going to reconvene. You know, see, this was in April, and they had to have a convention, say, by the end of August, because the national convention was in September. So you had to have your convention completed 30 days prior to the national starting. And so they had a couple, 3 months. And by Nevada revised statute, it says in the law that delegates to the national will be selected, you know, at the state convention. And so they didn't want to come back. Anyway, so they kept stalling. People would call Vegas and go, when are you going to reconvene? Oh, we're working on it. So it's what we did, myself and a bunch of us Ron Paul peoples. We went down and we rented a room and we set up a whole turnkey convention for them. And we mailed a letter to Sue Loudon and said, Sue, you know, we understand you're having a hard time getting the convention set up. Here it is. Come in.
So we did everything for you. Here you go.
We've done everything for you. We're paying for it. You come up and do it. And she politely declined. And they kept saying they're going to do it. So we figured they're not. So we decided to run our own convention. And we did. And we ran that at June 28th here in Sparks. And we taped it. And you know, another guy came in who was a McCain guy. And at this point, it really wasn't Ron Paul versus McCain. It was right versus wrong, you know. And we had a lot of sympathetic media up here in the north anyway. And so we reconvened, and this guy Mike Weber helped us out. And we went through, and we had this original convention on tape. And we found like about 100 things what they did wrong. And they never really legally shut it down, so it was really still in session. And so we just continued the convention, and we taped ours, and we did it legally, and the whole bit, and elected our delegates. And so then, now the party kept saying they were going to reconvene, but they never did. And so it's what they did, is they went behind closed doors, and they just selected people to go to national. Totally against state law, totally against the American way of one person, one vote. They didn't like it, so they shut it down and just appointed people to go to St. Paul for the national convention.
Okay, there's a couple of things I want to point out here. One was Senator Bob Beers went to Las Vegas and met with a bunch of the Ron Paul supporters at a library or something. And he came in, and Brock Lorber, a good friend of mine that was at that event, web broadcast it on Freedom's Phoenix. And I remember him saying, if you guys just play along, if you guys just quit being so ornery, you too could be an elected official and get a shiny badge just like me.
Right.
Okay.
That's fine.
And I saw, and we sit there, I'm going, this is their mindset. You
it
just
is.
Don't you want to be in control? Well, wait a minute, Wayne. When we come back, going to a break, we'll go ahead and expand on that a little bit and what you learn from all this. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Declare your independence. Real simple. I declare my independence, but you know, just saying it doesn't do it. You know, it's a revolution between the ears, because it's real simple. If you can't be independent, which means not dependent on something, how are you going to be independent? Got chickens? Got gold? Got silver? Are you going to be able to be independent? You know, and a lot of it is just a thought process. And that's one thing I want to, chastise Wayne a little bit on this. I'm glad you went through this, Wayne. You went through the process. You followed it. You went, we're going to follow the process. We're going to expect them to adhere to the process agreed upon by the process and the statutes and the rules. And we're going to play the game. But you know what you learned? They don't. So now what?
Well, couple things. Number one, when they shut down the convention, they did not have the ballots from CD2 counted. And so they didn't know what to do with them. And so what they did is they sealed them up in envelopes and put them in the vault of the hotel, of the Peppermill Hotel, and there was four signatories to it, two Ron Paul people and two McCain people that signed, and then the National Committee woman at the time, Beverly Willard, had the key. So those five people were required to get those ballots out and count them. When we tried to reconvene in June, we had the affidavits from the four people that wanted to they said, pull them out and count them, but nobody could find the key or Beverly Willard. I just kind of disappeared.
Did that ever come about? Did you ever get it open?
Yeah,
of course
that's
you
what happened on last Friday.
Anyway. Well, how did you get it? Did you drill it, or did you find a key?
Well, it's before we get right to that, we did also, we challenged the Nevada delegation back in St. Paul, and we went before their contest committee, and it was a six-hour hearing. And at the end of the hearing, the contest committee found for us, and they rebuked the state party, called them inept, and were concerned about how they ran things, and they disallowed all their delegates. So the whole state party, the national party, rebuked the state party in Nevada. But then the money and the politics came in. Now Nevada only had three delegates, so the Republican Party nationally appointed delegates, and they reappointed most of the illegally appointed delegates from the state.
Yeah, no, I remember when that was going on.
Right.
When we were doing Restore the Republic rally
right.
for Ron Paul there.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a side note. We're like, yeah, we don't care about y'all. Screw
yeah,
you,
absolutely.
Man. We got a stadium full over here. Bite me.
Right, exactly. So the thing was now that this key was gone. And we tried to contact this gal, Willard, but we couldn't get a hold of her. So the ballots were sitting there. They were just have been sitting there. And then around the state, when they would have county central committee meetings, it would always come up, what are the votes? Where are they? Where's the key? We want to know who won. And it was really causing problems because the Ron Paul folks and whatnot just wouldn't let it go. And we wouldn't sweep it under the rug, We wouldn't play dirty along with them. You're exactly right what Bob Beers said. He says, hey, just play along, and one of these days you'll be running things. But,
you could be a scumbag just like me.
Exactly. But so we didn't want to do that. We wanted to play by the rules. And we were robbed. We were totally disenfranchised. All these people went to all this work, through the caucus, through the county, through the state, came from all over, paid money, and they were just totally high-handed, imperiously diffed, and their votes were stolen from them. So anyway, so I'm not exactly sure, Ernie, how this happened, but apparently a couple, 3 months ago, Sue Loudon, and I'm not sure, gave the key to the state secretary of the party, and it ended up with Heidi Smith here, who was the county chairperson in Washoe County, which is Reno Sparks. She's now an Escovedo woman, and she contacted my family a couple weeks ago and says, I have the key. So,
and that's all you needed, right?
That's all we needed, because we already had the four signed affidavits from all the people saying, yes, please open them, count them. We even had some of those people there.
Heck, I'd say we lost a key. Give me a drill.
Really? Well, you know, that might have been next. But anyway, so we went down there, and we opened it up, and the ballots were there. And so we said, okay, fine. And we put them back into another box, and so for chain of custody. And then we set up a counting party last Friday. And then we all went down. We have this on film, you know, getting the ballots out of the paper mill. And we took them to the Washoe County Republican headquarters, and we counted them. And there was a couple of film crews there. The print was there, the whole bit. And so we ended up, we counted them. And it's just like we thought. It was, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was close to like 300 votes apiece. For my son came in, you know, like 258 votes. And then Marla Chris and Pat Kirby came in with 255 votes apiece, and they're all Ron Paul people. So we would have had those delegates. And they knew it, and that's why they shut her down. I mean, I there's no other reason for it. So they disenfranchised it. And you know what was interesting? Because we had a reporter here that did a pretty good job, the Marine Gazette Journal. She pointed out in her story that, you know, the winners, the legal winners, had about 250 votes. But the three people that went, one of them had 17 votes, or 19 or 17, one had 12, and one had zero. And those are the ones that got the rooms and everything in the fancy hotels that went back to St. Paul.
Okay, there are two lessons here that I want to make sure that I'm able to express myself. One, well, first I got to say, you know, I was supportive of every effort you guys had. We were busting butt. We covered everything. We made sure. We made it very clear what was going on, who was doing what, and it did not go in secret. Okay, that's why we're doing this show. You know, we're going to wrap this thing up. But the thing is that, you know, the one thing that I wanted to make very clear is that you have heroes and people like Wayne Terhune and his son and his family that had, you know, you have some money. I mean, you know, you're a doctor. You're kind of, you know, you're not worrying where your next meal's coming from. So when it takes a couple hundred dollars here and there and something to make sure that you get justice for the system, you were counted on to do this. You counted on yourself. You weren't waiting for some, you know, judge or program or some anointed shiny badge, something to fix it for you. When it came down to it, you took care of business yourself.
Well, yeah, we had a lot of help. It was a group. There's a lot of Ron Paul people. But, yeah, we decided to do it. You know, the whole group of us. I can't take credit myself. But, you know, there's a lot of us.
My point is, Wayne, is that that's what they don't count on. They don't count on that one individual, that small group, that determined. You know, that's what, you know, it's he who believes the most wins. I mean, it's always that. They never count on that one individual, that one small group, that one effort that is just will not be silenced.
Well, that's right. You're right.
So you got that going for you. That's good. I'm glad you went through this. It needed to be done. Lesson learned. But to think that you're going to be able to vote yourself free means you haven't been paying attention to what just happened to you. Do you have faith in this system that you would go ahead and do it again? Because 2012's coming. You know, I mean, you know, have they learned their lesson? They're like, they don't want to play with you guys anymore. They're going to, yeah, we'll do it right this time. Will they change it? Will they do it? Are you going to go through this again? Should Dr. Paul run? Are you in the electoral process? You're going to do it again?
You know, that's a big if Dr. Paul's going to run again.
Let's just assume he does.
Well, you know, of course, if he ran, we would support him. It's what we're trying to do. At this point, you know, the system's broke. And these people that have done it need to be removed. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the national. I think that we need to really work on the state level and the local level governments. And it's what we're trying to do. We've got a state central committee coming up next weekend or so, after this weekend, that is. And, you know, we're trying to get rid of the corrupt people and trying to get people in that will run things fairly. You know, and we'll see. I mean, what else can you do? You could take your revolution science to the next level, Ernie, but I don't really want to talk about that on the radio.
No, I just want to buy chickens.
Buy chickens.
Hey, man, I don't have to beat them. I just have to survive them. They're going to go on their own.
Well, you know what? There's many different ways of looking at that. You're right. And I've kind of got my fingers in several things. All the stuff about precious metals and growing food and storing food and other things, we've done that. We had that ready before the Ron Paul thing. We're ready
to go. Good man, good man. Well, you know, as long as you got yourself covered on that, then the rest of it's a hobby.
Absolutely,
You can go through and say, hey, man, I did. You know, I did my bit. I did my best. I made sure that I exhausted every single avenue of the love-evolution, because that's what it was about. You're doing this out of love of freedom, your family, your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors. You exhaust that first. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back in the saddle again here in Phoenix, Arizona, talking to Wayne. Wayne's up in Reno, Nevada area, Sparks, Nevada. Wayne Terhune, the hero of the Nevada Republican Party, forcing them to do what they should have done to begin with. And I tell you, the reason you're motivated to do this kind of stuff, it's just a sense of justice. And one thing, right when we were going to break, you were saying, you know, for the Constitution, I want you to finish that thought.
Well, yeah, well, our Constitution Republic is what made this country what it is, you know, by the grace of God. And they're whittling away at that Constitution every day. And Ron Paul, obviously, is a constitutional candidate. And if he was in office now, we wouldn't be having a lot of the problems that we're having now. I mean, that's why we work so hard. So, you know, you can still try in the politics, and we still are. And I think local politics, you know, you need to work on those. I don't have much faith in this system, especially nationally. You know, some people don't like to hear this, but I kind of think it's kind of gone. You can still work at it. We're still working locally here to try to take this party back. But I'm ready for other options, ready to sit it out, wait it out. God knows what's going to come. I'm also involved in Oath Keepers, which is fighting for the Constitution. And I think maybe the battle shifted a little bit there. And to get all the uniformed people to uphold their oaths of the Constitution, you know, tyranny always comes in a uniform. And down in Katrina, as you know, they went door to door, the military confiscating guns, firearms. So we got to be ready for that. And if we can get the military and the police on our side peacefully to uphold their oath to the Constitution and not to obey unlawful orders, you know, I'm working on that too. I think that's kind of where it shifted. But, you know, we kind of have a foothold in the door here. So we're still working. We'll see if we can elect some people on the state party, our people, some Ron Paul people, and kind of take this thing back a little bit. But I'm ready to go if it falls apart, too.
Yeah, no, you got to be ready. You got to have options. You know, I happened to be in Las Vegas during the Oath Keepers a couple weeks ago. And
were you there, Ernie?
Yeah, no, I stopped by and, you know, met Stuart Rhodes, and and I know Sheriff Mackwell. We're friends. So,
right.
So we, you know, I just to, you know, introduce myself and press flesh and yo, what's up, and pass out some cards. I only had like a half hour between appointments that I was there, and I just wanted to stop by. And
yeah, I was there. I didn't see it, though.
I was there right before the break of lunch.
Okay.
You know, and I was, you know, I would talk to him passing out the Freedom's Phoenix cards. You know,
okay.
I kind of put that, I was the one to put those out. So what happened was I just wanted to, you know, say, hey, Stuart, we'll have him on next week. And we had Sheriff Mack on last Tuesday, you know, the Tuesday right after the event.
Right.
And it was promoting his book. And the one thing that I understand, if you're going to have this social contract, I mean, I just want to make it clear. Hey, man, I never signed it. Nobody put it in front of me that I consented to, you know, it matters. Not he is your king kind of thing, you know. And, you know, my deal is I'm a Declaration of Independence kind of guy. And it was very clear. You want to know what good and bad government is. It says very clearly. It doesn't say what kind of government we should have. It's just how to recognize a good or bad one. When they cease to defend the rights of the individual, it's your right, it's your duty to alter or abolish it. You know, like, you want to know what a good government is? they're protecting individual rights. Well, how's this one working out for us? You know, I'm going, hey, man, it whatever. If it wasn't the cause of it, it sure as heck didn't prevent it. So I'm going, you know, I'm with you, brother, man. We got, you know, I'm open to something else. Heck, go back to Articles of Confederation. I mean, you know, why do we even make the change anyway? Because Hamilton wanted a central bank. So I'm going, okay. So it's broke. If we're going to try and fix it, let's just make the effort, and then we'll see where it is that it's really, you know, why it's so messed up. How did it get so bad? You know, what was the mechanism? Well, it's like a national plantation they put us all on. So I'm open to other opportunities, but I still love this America thing, you know, this individual liberty purporting that. I mean, that's the whole point of government. And why are we overseas doing all everything that Dr. Paul was talking about? Yeah. He made it very clear. That's why, because he had spoken at two of our previous summits. We've known Dr. Paul, and I knew what was going to happen. As soon as this message got out and people heard him for the first time, they were going to go, oh, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. And what they have been doing, they, them, those, they're those that want to be left alone and those that won't leave him alone. It's not more complicated than that. And those that won't leave us alone saw him and his supporters as a threat to their monopolistic control of everything. They did not want you to have that power that we discovered. Americans rediscovered just how influential we could be. And you have been an excellent example in what can be done when you keep your finger on the button and you say, no, I'm never, ever, ever, ever going away. We are going to get these counted. We are going to have justice on this thing. We're going to find out what it would have been. We're going to find out. And then you work to fix it in your local area. This is what I applaud you for. But I do not want to let this go by without my opinion being, you know, out there for everybody to understand that I'm a Declaration of Independence kind of guy. And you can recognize government by the fruits that they bear. And what we are getting is what? I mean, you know, this was it the Constitution and our devotion to that allowed this? You know, is it the centralized plan, the structure?
You know what? Raise some interesting points. If people would follow the Constitution, it would be fine. But you know what?
I believe they never do.
Some of the founding fathers said, you know, this Constitution is made for a moral people. You know, and if a country kind of starts to get immoral and its leaders get immoral, and just like on our state level here and in the White House, they don't care about the laws.
Okay, now this
is the
point. They
don't care about the Constitution. So the Constitution is only good if people follow it.
No, this is my point, Wayne. Is that you will always, always, throughout history, will find the least moral of the population will seek this power.
Sure, because they lust for power.
That, and so I don't care how great, you got 98.6% of the people are saints, the worst of them is going to try and be in office.
Now, you know what, if you had 98% saints, I think you'd have a pretty good country. But, you know, I don't think we have that in this country now. And I think that's what our problem is.
I'm feeling pretty good about, you know, from the revolution, what it demonstrated is that there's hope. You know, there are good people out there that will work very hard, put their entire lives on hold and do this. I encourage people to watch the documentary For Liberty. It gives you an idea of just regular people are just focused on doing the right thing. And have you seen that documentary yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's great, great documentary. For Liberty. It's forlibertymovie.com. It's how the Ron Paul Revolution watered the withered tree of liberty.
Right.
And they did a great job on it. And the thing is that I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing because you've been such an inspiration to me and so many other people. We were watching every – and the fact that you finally got those ballots counted and you knew what was going to happen, why they did it, was a big, giant amen, brother. But I'm telling
you. Yeah, that's right.
You know, but I'm saying that the result is, you know, I don't want to be, okay, well, now we got hope. And that's what they wanted to do. That's what they wanted to accomplish. Okay, yeah, the Republican Party in Nevada, you know, we've learned our lesson. It's fixed now. You can go ahead and use us, and let's elect Harry Reid.
No way. No. We're not sitting on any of those laurels. This just proves, you know, and you know, we need to get this message more to the public that the Republican Party, you know, they've got to clean up their act, and they're not going to do it on their own. They're not going to change. And
well, Hannity said they did. He said they got religion now. We found our conservative backbone. We're fixed now. That's what he said.
Well, I might dispute that. And
yeah, but Hannity said it.
Well, I don't really ascribe much to Hannity.
No, well, O'Reilly said it. Rush said it. They all said it.
Hey, Ernie, I don't listen to Fox News.
Well, Rush said it. They all say it.
Well,
you see my point, right?
They can say what they want, but I really don't put much credence in what they have to say.
So what is there candidates there that you're supporting? You're hoping somebody's going to be running against Reid because he's up this time.
Well, you know what? Sue Loudon is running against Reid, and she's damaged goods. And there's no way that, you know, somebody that cheats on the state level should not be promoted to the national level. And, you know, they've got, you know, I really don't see any real Ron Paul candidates at this. There's about 12 of them now that really would have a chance. So I'm kind of like pessimistic. And there's a lot of money involved in this. There's a lot of millionaires that are throwing their hats in the ring. There's some people, you know, like there's a gal up here that's she's running also, but, you know, she's for the war. And so, you know, I'm kind of pessimistic about the national outlook. I don't really think the Republicans are going to get anybody to beat Reid at this time.
Let me ask you this. You know, the heck with national, man. You know, Washington,
right.
you're Nevada, man. You're out in the middle of the Lone Prairie, in the middle of the desert. You're last place they're going to worry about. So one thing that you're looking, you're a gentleman of some means. You know, your profession, you know, you've built a career. You've raised your children. You got, there's a big giant cutting outgoing money right there. So you got your children raised, you're looking at the future, grandkids and so on. You're taking this serious and you're sitting back and you're going, you know, I'm preparing for possibly what? I mean, how are you preparing for this?
Well, you know, you prepare for the worst. You prepare for the thing falling down. I mean, if they have another stimulus package, this economy is going to be through.
Yeah, it's called healthcare.
Right. You take a look at what they did in Argentina to a thriving middle class, and now they're dirt poor. And I think they probably want to do that to us also.
Yes, they do. We're going to find out more, and we'll get Wayne's opinion on what he's doing and what you should be doing when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Survive it here on Declare Your Independence. That's what you can do. You know what you can do about it? You can just not go headlong into the man. You know, you can avoid the man, or you can fight the man. Which one you want to do? Well, Wayne wants to fight the man a little bit, you know, at least get up. You know, Wayne Terhune, the hero of Nevada, making sure that the Republican Party there got what for. So now, do you think that they've seen the light? They're healed. They're gonna clean up their act. They're gonna make rule changes. They're gonna allow participation and equal, treatment under the rules and law. Is that what's gonna happen, Wayne? I got you, Wayne. Oh, I'm sorry. Did we lose Wayne? Are you there, Sarah? Oh, he can hear me, but I can't hear him. Can you put him up for us, Sarah? Now, the one thing that we want to do is we want to make sure that you understand out there that, you know, there is an end game to all of this. The end game is going to be an understanding, one way or another, that your effort is going to be directed at something. Your effort is going to be expanding your own freedom and that of your family or not. I mean, we can go into dark tyranny, and there's every sign that that's what's going to happen. So sometimes it might just be best just to survive it and see if it'll fall in decay of its own weight. But sometimes it doesn't. I got you there now, Wayne?
I'm here.
There you go. Whoa. Yeah, man, we got you.
Okay.
Now, so I want to see where you're at on this thing. Now, you're preparing. I mean, you're hedging your bet. You're like, yeah, you know, this. I got a view behind the curtain. I see what's up. So now you want to survive this, and you're in a rural area of the country that, you know, a lot of people from back east, they don't really realize how open the West is until they fly over it. You're back east, every square, it looks like a checkerboard. You know, everything's, you know, allocated to something. But you go out in the West, I mean, especially Nevada and Arizona, I mean, dang, you can go 100 miles and not see another human being.
Yeah.
So you're in a position that now, you know, you might just want to be able to survive it. But in the meantime, you're still going to take seriously the good effort to try and, I don't know, save what? What is
well,
it you're trying
you know
to save?
Left. First of all, I got to say it, you trust in God, and you go from there. We moved out in the sticks. We got 40 acres. We're on solar and wind power, and you got a well and the whole bit, and we're starting to do some farming. We've got a lot of stuff, you know, to weather a storm, and so we're ready to go on that. But I just feel compelled to try every peaceful means we can to try to head these guys off. It may be a losing battle. But we need to do that. We need to get the military and the police on our side. If there's any hope for some of these parties on a local level, you know, to take back our states, maybe even some states' rights, state sovereignty, and get the sheriffs on board so they'll tell the feds to back off. You know, I kind of want to try to draw the line maybe at the state and then at the county because I don't want to have to do it at my front door, you know. So we're kind of prepared for the worst, and we're just trying to push as hard as we can as many arenas as we can to back this evil beast off as long as we can. And, you know, we got a message out there with Ron Paul. There's still a lot of people that believe in that, and they got to know they're not alone. So we just need to push as hard as we can peacefully, but you got to be ready for the worst. You got to be ready to weather the storm, like you say. And we were kind of like that before we started Ron Paul. We've increased those efforts, but we're still working as hard as we can on the other arenas also.
Wayne Terhune and his family, how could you ask them to do any more? I mean, they're taking care of themselves. They're not going to be dependent, you know, on the system so they can be independent. And they're still willing to devote some effort to try to free their neighbors and their loved ones and their country and their state. I know, I mean, there's kind of like halos follow guys like you. You know?
Oh, no.
So the
I
thing
know,
is,
big deal.
Well, you know, all the more the halo just got brighter. Anyway, the thing is that I want to set you up as an example, but also when you're such a good example like that, a lot of times, man, you can be a target too. But if you embrace the love in the Lovelution, then, you know, I mean, how can you lose?
You can't, you know, we're all going to check out of here someday. And it's just, what did you do while you were here?
Amen. You know, this is, I'm really happy for you. You've been able to see this through and you found, although, you know, late and limited success, you were successful. You got what needed to be done. And how it goes from there, I don't know. But the fact that there are people like you around the country that did this kind of puts the bad guys on notice. But also, they just hone their skills a little bit more. They change the rules a little bit. They'll do it a little differently. What happens when you got all these, you know, Ron Paul supporting people out in the Republican Party that will fill all these positions, and they don't have to be paid by special interest employees of the military-industrial complex to do it, and they'll just do it on their own. Dang it, man, they're not supposed to be able to do that. So I seen this happen. I was all over the country, and I'm telling you, this was just a neon-flashing example of what was going on everywhere.
Right,
and I'm going, you know, this is what is going – because the biggest – threat that we thought would happen when we first decided to start the revolution way back in, you know, before he even declared for president, we were going, when we came up with the logo and we started doing that, even before that, we go, if we do this, we knew it was going to happen. We knew it was going to explode. This message was going to be very powerful. It always has throughout history. And so we go, if we do this, are we going to be causing more problems by giving hope to people in a system that we have no hope in? And the answer that we gave ourselves was, yeah, but, you know, what'll happen is that they will be educated on exactly what the problem really is. They will come away with a fuller understanding. Because the old saying was, the joke is, what's the difference between an anarchist and a libertarian? And the answer is about 6 or 7 years if you're paying attention. And the reason is because you go through 3 election cycles. We had 08. We'll go through 10. You know, people do exactly like what you're doing. They're going to fix it 10. Then we'll have another presidential election cycle, 12. After that, we will have really made an impact. It will start to shift. It'll change. Something will happen, or people will start to go, yeah, you know, it's getting bad enough that we're more worried about maybe we'll just go over here. We'll move up to Sparks. Go hang out on Wayne's territory here. Give me an acre, man. You know, I'll farm for you, you know.
Yeah.
So this is, I have complete and total faith in humanity. In God's law, man. I mean, it's like, you know, you will have justice. And it will be, for us, if we weren't good people in general from the beginning, we'd be extinct by now. But my argument is whenever you create positions of power, you always get the Bob Beers that will be first in line to take
sure.
it.
Absolutely. People
so
quit, want the power. The
well,
good people
quit creating
don't
the positions of power.
Yeah.
Stop advocating for somebody to rule me. Because they always go, oh, well, I want a good leader. I want a good government. I want a good governor of my, you know, myself. I want to be socially and economically engineered in a good way. And I'm going, well, you already lost the battle by advocating that you be governed. So that's where I'm at. I mean, if you're going to have any kind of a government, it cannot be coercive. Well, then they'll argue, well, then you can't have a government. I'm like, well, okay, well, if you can't come up with a non-coercive government, then I guess we don't get one. So that's where I'm at. That's where my advocacy is. And I've yet to be proven wrong yet.
Well, yeah, we'll see where this goes.
No. And you're going to be I'm going to follow you. You are, man, you are on my list. You
okay,
know?
Cool.
We're going to be following Wayne. You know, the Terhune family is, man, they got it rocking and rolling and going on. And we've been following everything that you have been doing because you have been such a perfect example. Your reputation is far greater than what's going on in Nevada. So we've been making sure, and I'm very, very excited by your win and the fact that you got to come on and spend time with me because I wanted to make sure that, you know, you have every resource and support that you can. When you need something, you need bodies. You know, from Phoenix, man, boom, we were in Nevada. We were there to help.
Right.
Because we
right.
wanted to make sure you guys were successful. We wanted to exhaust the peaceful means. We wanted to make sure we did everything we could to work within the system. Because if you don't do everything you can, then you can't blame the system.
There you go. Right.
And I want to blame the system. So we're going to support your effort. Matt, you understand my point. Hey, so what's the next phase of this? Going into 2010, what do you think you're going to be able to accomplish?
Oh, I don't know. You know, locally, it's still a battle between the rhinos, the neocons, the big money, the tax raisers, and we're trying to get people on the local, you know, Senate assembly that will not raise taxes, that will go for states' rights and follow the Constitution. It's still a battle. They haven't stopped at all. They've gone a little underground. They get some better PR, but they're still out after it. And so, you know, just kind of have to support the local candidates, get good ones in the state and assembly and take it back there. Try to get rid of the lawbreakers as much as we can from the Nevada State Party and get some of our people in. I think we might be able to do that here in Hawthorne. And, you know, people come in my office and I talk to them and, people are starting to wake up a little bit and say, hey, you need to start storing some food and some water. You need to be ready to get going. But also we need to get involved in this and do what we can. That's why the Oath Keepers is important to me. So we'll just keep fighting, Ernie. And I want to thank you for having me on.
Oh, no, it was my pleasure. You know, I really was looking forward to this for a long time. And once we had a good opportunity for you to have good news, then boom, I'm all over it. And the one thing is that, you know, you need help up there. You let us know.
Will do.
You know, I can go on and on all the stuff that we're having to go up against, kind of same kind of stuff.
Right.
But the main thing is you cannot be independent if you're dependent. And I'm really advocating that, and it sounds like you got it going on. So we're all going to move up and live outside your front door.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks to Wayne Terhune and his family. You know, these are the people that you can count on being the example of what we strive to be for this entire country. If it wasn't for people like this, we wouldn't be where we are. It would be worse. Well, thank you.